It's Tuesday, July 14th. NFL owners and the players cannot get on the same page. Matt just confirmed what I already knew about Pat Mahomes. The college football season is playing floor is lava, and I'm afraid we're about to all fall in and burn up. I really am. It's not fear-mongering, I'm afraid. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin, and this is Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. Welcome in, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a birthday weekend. I turned 34. My son turned 6. I had as best time as you can have right now with small quarantine parties. And Gabe, how was your weekend?
I also had an okay weekend, all things considered. I wonder, were there any Tennessee Titans fans invited to your birthday party? I feel like they want to come hang out with you.
I gotta say, the amount of vitriol from the Titans fans is something I had not experienced from any fan base. You know me. I knock every fan base.
All of them.
All of them. Fair. Equal. And Titans fans, for some reason, have this entitlement for being in the playoffs twice in the last 12 years that I just do not understand. They keep sending me stuff. But what's really funny, Gabe, this is my favorite part about this. If you guys haven't learned this yet, when you tweet Jeff Schwartz sucks, okay, to your followers, they're going to read it and they're going to click on who is Jeff Schwartz. And they're going to see, oh man, this guy is not as stupid as you make him out to be. Follow. Just like Titans fans are going to my Instagram right now. They're commenting on my stuff. Guess what? More people are seeing it now. Thank you for spreading the Jeff Schwartz brand out as you're trying to knock me down. People don't get that. Like, I don't hate follow anyone. If I don't like the person, I just don't follow them. I don't amplify people I don't like on social media.
Yeah, and you love the city of Nashville. It's got all the things you like. It's got good food, some music, a football team, a bunch of football in the area. There's nothing against Nashville. You just seem to have pissed a few people off by pointing out that the Tennessee Titans are not the Green Bay Packers. I mean, let's be honest, folks.
Correct. Nothing to it. They're not. So, Titans fans, grow up a little bit. Stop being so sensitive. Seriously, yeah. Stop it. And also, look, come on. We understand, by the way, that talking, like, you know, call me fat, whatever, call my career or whatever. But, like, talking about my wife, like, I don't really care. I don't really care. Like, my day was the same yesterday as it always was. I did everything I normally would do. It doesn't bother. But, like, that's like an extra level where it's like, you wouldn't say that to my face. Like, you might call me fat in public. I don't know why you would. But, like, the wife stuff and, like, some of the gross stuff people sent me, the pictures, man, it was really creepy. Like, I don't really... It's odd behavior, Gabe. It's not what normal people do.
No. And guys, if you're trying to get a zinger in on Jeff, don't make it personal. Just make fun of his lack of pop culture knowledge like I do. He takes that the right way. We're going to get to some of that later in the show. He's got a blind spot. You can mock him you want. He's 34 and he hasn't seen any cool movies from the 90s. That's an easy thing to make fun of. Leave his wife out of it. Who cares?
Fair. I have not. Not good.
Let's get to
maybe better stuff.
Not much better. And you know, Titans fans, keep it in perspective. We got a season we're trying to save here. If you want to ever win a Super Bowl, you're going to need things to go right soon. NFL owners and the Players Association were meeting today to go over the latest issues. They are not agreeing on most things we need them to agree on right now. The most recent disagreements, as I would sum them up, are basically that players are pushing for daily COVID testing as opposed to every other day, as owners currently want to do. They're pushing for guaranteed money if, you know, games don't happen. They want to make sure that guys are covered, that it's not their fault, and they don't get, you know, they miss out on paychecks as a result. And they want to basically just make sure that if this season is a big loss for the league, that next season, the salary cap isn't ruined and guys who are in the league now don't have to pay the price for future generations. So there's some pretty big issues out there. But from my opinion and most fans' opinions, the owners are the problem right now. The owners are the ones holding things up. The owners are the ones counting dollars when billions are on the line. We need everyone to just be cool and make sure this season happens safely or it won't happen at all.
I'm with you on a lot of this. I feel like the health and safety is something that the NFLPA is really going hard on, and I appreciate them doing so. But I also think there has to be a little give and take here. I understand your point about the NFL, you know, NFL players want to test every day. That, to me, is the key for all sports, is daily testing. Daily testing. You have to be able to test these players every day. It might not be pleasant. It might not be easy, but they're coming out with saliva tests, with blood tests. You have to test every day. It's the only way to ensure that you get at least the best containment possible, right? The best bubble possible to test every day. So the owner's not agreeing to that. It's just a bargaining chip, in my opinion. Hey, yes, we'll agree to everyday testing, but you have to agree to this. And you know, Gabe, I know you're shaking your head right now. That's the way the NFL operates, right? Is that they operate in a manner where, you know, they're going to always try to have a give and take. We'll give you something, we'll take something from you. And so that is not terribly surprising. But I want to say, Gabe, that I'm not quite sure the players have approached this in the right way either. And I'm not part of negotiations. I haven't really discussed this with a lot of players because I really don't need to. Because here's the thing too. If you talk to five players, you get five different answers. I did this during the CBA negotiations, right? And the thing about it is the baseball PA, the NBA PA, they're just much tighter, right? They kind of are one word, especially when we saw the baseball negotiations. For the most part, they were one word, kind of one until the end, until Trevor Bauer kind of went off. But nonetheless, close to the same thought. The NFL players are all over the place. But I saw a player today say that, I'm going to make sure I have the quote right here to pull this up here. Justin Reed said that on the NFL possibly creating more time with delay to camp, season to get things ironed out. I think it would be beneficial to delay the season 2 or 3 weeks. That way we can answer a lot of questions, procedure, and how the season's going to happen. Guys, you've had since March to figure this out. Like, how have you not gotten close to where you just say, hey, man, July 28th, we're going back to work? I understand that things have changed since Memorial Weekend, right? That we're in a different place right now. But that's irresponsible, in my opinion. Like, you've now cost everyone money when you could be playing. And the PA, I think, has dragged their feet a little bit on this, Gabe, as well, trying to get back. I feel like they're kind of just dragging this out so they don't have to play the preseason. And if you lose 2 or 3 weeks because of some simple thing that you just didn't want to give in on, that doesn't feel worth it to me.
Right. But isn't this one of these cases where, you know, everyone's negotiating instead of setting back and saying, we're kind of all on the same side here? Like, it's in the owner's best interest for absolutely be positive that your players are healthy. Because as soon as one guy who's effectively in the bubble, I recognize it's not a physical bubble, but as soon as one guy tests positive, they have to assume like everyone on the team has now been exposed, which means that you're going to have to start quarantining guys who may not even be showing any symptoms. So it's in everyone's interest to be totally sure that you're catching anyone who's positive immediately. Like, 24 hours could be a real problem. So I don't understand that one. And then I don't understand, it defies all common sense that, you know, the PA is having to fight for the idea that someone, you know, missing time because of COVID, that's sort of like an injury, right? Like, that's what that sounds like to me as a fan. Why would owners fight that notion? Why is that a negotiating point? Nobody wants to get COVID. Like, why would that be a holdup?
Well, again, I don't know why it's a holdup. That's why I think the daily testing is important. I think the NFL will probably come around on that, but I just think it's a give and take, right? They want something in return, probably preseason games, to play the preseason games. But I just, look, again, you know me, like, I'm going to be even-handed here. I'm not going to just all blame the owners for this. Like I said, I feel like from the player side, which is what I know more about, it feels like they're trying to drag that. I was talking to someone today who said that they have talked to a bunch of players. They all want to play. And I think they all want to play too. So why does it feel like publicly they don't want to play, right? I mean, it's a hard ball. Is it guys just going out and trying to sway the media in their direction to get, you know, a negotiation going better for them? We feel like we've had this long ramp up, right? Like, we've had this time to figure it out. And the NFL got the benefit of the doubt of having 6 months to figure this thing out. And it doesn't feel like we're any closer to playing at times than we were 4 months ago, 5 months ago. And that's the part that I just can't seem to figure out. But we know that Andrew Brandt's favorite, one of his two favorite lines, right? There will be lawyers. And deadlines spur actions, right? I mean, the deadline is July 28th. And so it's July 14th today. We still have 2 weeks to figure out how to get back to camp. But it doesn't look like we're going to be back in camp on time. And I contend this, I said this last week, Gabe, the PA should have told their players to come in 2 weeks early and set a date like July 15th, go back, get tested, make sure you're healthy, start working out, get back in the building, kind of start your routine up again. So July 28th, when you start, you can get after it. Because there are players right now that I would imagine are in hotspots and might be going to dinner, doing what they're doing, and they're just getting sick. And when they report back to camp July 28th, they're going to have to miss 2 weeks. I just would have told your players to get in early and kind of get and start the period of quarantine, essentially, when you show up for training camp. I don't know why they didn't play this a little differently.
No, I don't either. And now we're seeing Russell Westbrook, you know, arguably the biggest star in the NBA right now, can't go to the bubble because he tested positive. You know, I'm sure he wants to play. If guys want to play, I don't know why they weren't being more careful than the average person. I just don't get it, because it's clear that their job, their workplace, is going to be monitored differently than the average person's is. There's just no room for error. So I think it's a shame that it's turning into a negotiation on things that both sides should want. Silly things like testing every other day or every day. The cost of that is not so problematic for ownership that they should fight that. It just seems like a principle they don't need to stand on.
Right. I'm surely with you here. I think that there's some things that owners, again, for the owners, it's all, you know, a give and take, right? And that's the way they always approach this, is that, you know, is that they want to, you know, we'll give you this and we get that. So I get where they're coming from. But to your point, that should be the easy part. The easy part should be, we're going to test everyone every day. End of story, yeah, right? Done. Coaches, players, personnel, we're going to work with a medical company. They're going to, quote unquote, sponsor our saliva testing, and we're going to do it. We're going to be in partner with them, and we're going to find a way to get this done every day. I still believe they start on time, but I just don't know if guys will be actually ready to play.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about the lockout that you were involved in a few years ago in 11, and, you know, players have brought up that they could get injured if they haven't had the right offseason. And so it seems like every sort of deadline is getting pushed because somebody can make a claim that it's not, they're not ready or it's not safe yet. So I don't know how this resolves. I'm hoping that this evening we're getting more news, and that by the end of the week, it feels like folks are going to turn up and feel comfortable. But if we're in negotiation mode with owners who see this as businesses, not just, and this is an important point to make as a fan, we just want to watch the games, man. I don't care if the owner of said team makes X margin or X minus some percentage margin. I don't give a shit. Like, I just want everyone involved to be healthy, and I want to watch football. And for them to look at it like it's some bottom line thing is, I think, what's going to start pissing people off this week.
Well, yes, it is. But look, the player's perspective is also the bottom line too, right? I mean, they want to play and get paid. They want to do it the safest way possible. But again, I go back to this. I feel like their preseason strategy is just not it. I get this ramp-up period, but they're just, the injuries are going to be rampant, man. There'll be so many injuries from guys just not being in shape because they waited too long to get into training camp. I mean, you know, I know the injuries were up in 2011, but we went full bore right away, so I get that. But I feel like eight padded practices before you play, it's just not enough time. And so we saw other leagues kind of have a long rampant period to get ready for the season. And I feel like the NFL players could have decided to come in a week or two early to kind of start that process. And they didn't do it. And now we might miss a week or two or 3 weeks, which doesn't help anybody.
Well, let's look at college football, which unfortunately, you know, they have one less week to play with and a little bit more difficult situation because these are amateurs, not professionals. You sort of said it at the top of the show. College football's in a bad spot. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. We're all fans, but Big Ten and Pac-12 canceled non-conference games. People have heard that by now. We assume the ACC will follow. So that means we lose some great games on the schedule. USC versus Alabama, Ohio State versus Oregon, two games you and I were excited to watch. Other good games are out there. But the SEC, for now at least, as of the recording of this show, is holding on for dear life. They are imagining a world where they can play their full schedules. But even their commissioner is acknowledging, quote, that the concern is, quote, high to very high, and, quote, we're running out of time to correct and get things right. So I'm just here to say, if he has that understanding, who am I? What do I know? But cut your losses. Let's get some football instead of trying to fight for all football. If all the Power 5 conferences just do the conference-only schedules, buy themselves a few weeks, limit the amount of travel and cost, maybe we can salvage a season, right?
I'm with you here. The biggest winner so far in this, if there is a winner, is Clay Helton. Doesn't have to play Alabama or Notre Dame. The USC Trojans get their two of the three toughest teams off their schedule because Oregon's still on their schedule. So congratulations to USC here. Look, the goal is to play games, right, at some point. And this feels like the best way to do it, a conference-only schedule. And I'll tell you why. I think that the reason why the SEC and ACC might be taking some time to do this, Gabe, is because, you know, it'd be kind of silly, in my opinion, to say, like, South Carolina, for example, you know, in that state, you can only play, you know, conference games, but you have South Carolina and Clemson playing each other. Like, they're in different conferences, but they're in the same state. They could be allowed to play each other. Out West, there's not that problem, right? There's not a state that has two teams from a different conference. I mean, I guess Utah, BYU, maybe, but BYU's independent. So it's easier for the Big Ten, the Pac-12 to kind of say, okay, we're going to stay in our region. The ACC and the SEC can kind of do maybe a joint schedule together. But I think the out-of-conference games out of state are gone. They're gone 100%. I'll tell you why this is good. For one, it buys you a little bit of time. Paul Feinbaum tweeted out that SI's Ross Dellinger says a doctor advising conference commissioners told him COVID cases will have to plateau or fall nationally or to have college football season. The plateau part, I mean, maybe we get there in a month. I don't know. I don't think it's going to fall anytime soon. So delaying the start of the season by going conference only is gives you a month, right? Because, you know, you start by October 1st. But here's why I think it makes a lot of sense, especially out West. I know the Pac-12 athletic director, Larry Scott, he has COVID. He recovers fine from that. He's talked about this. So as Scott Barnes, the Oregon State athletic director, we had on my Pac-12 Today radio show as well. They're worried that each conference will have their own testing protocols and guidelines to play because the NCAA has said, we're out, right? We're not doing this. We're not helping you guys set up a way to test, to social distance, to travel, all that stuff. So it's left up to conferences, their own states, their own counties. And this way you can control what you can control. Because typically by region, you know, you're doing things by region, right? So let's use an example. Let's use week one, USC, Alabama, all right? So right now, California went backwards, right? You're in California. You guys basically went back to phase one yesterday, right? Gavin Newsom said, no more, we're not allowed to be inside anymore. No more inside. So California has been strict. I know their numbers are going up, so maybe not the best example, but California is being strict. People are wearing masks in some communities, at least. You bring the Trojans football team back to campus. They're testing. They're social distancing. They're not going to bars because they're not open. They're not going to clubs because they're not open. They're not going to restaurants because they're not open. They're not going to the mall, the movie theater. They're really not doing anything, right? They're trying to stay as healthy as possible. Now you have Alabama. They play week one. And Alabama has the bars open. The indoor restaurants open. They're testing, you know, every other day or every 3 days. And now they play each other and you have USC doing everything they possibly could to stay healthy, playing Alabama, who's not following the same protocols. They play each other. Alabama gets USC player sick. USC plays Stanford the next week. They get Stanford sick and it goes on and on. And this way conferences can control what they can do for testing and protocols. Because most of, you know, like out West, for example, California, Colorado, Utah, Washington, Oregon are kind of all together. Now, Arizona's off doing their own thing, but they're kind of coming back to the pack now as far as their guidelines for mask wearing and social distancing. So that's why I think we're seeing a conference-only schedule will work out West. Like, I feel great about the Pac-12 playing this year. Oregon's numbers are good. Washington's numbers are good. Colorado, Utah's fine. Obviously, Arizona and California are bad right now. But I think that they can get this done.
Okay, well, that's a little bit of hope then. And that makes a lot of sense, sort of breaking it down almost like on a government level. It's obviously going to be different depending on who your governor is or your mayor or wherever you play. Let me bring this one up because I've seen this bouncing around. You know, people pointing out sort of the hypocrisy, I guess you'd use the word, of, you kind of touched on this. Like Georgia, for instance, can go to Missouri and play there. But they can't play Georgia Tech.
Right.
Like that is a little bit hard to swallow for people. You kind of touched on that, but do you think that they will come up with ways to make exceptions or sort of square that circle? Because it is a little off when you just cut it off by conference.
Well, that's why I think the SEC and the ACC might do a joint thing where they say, okay, you know, we'll play, because, you know, right now the SEC only plays 8 conference games. The Pac-12 plays 9. So they have to get one more game and to kind of have even schedules, or the Pac-12 just plays 10 and the SEC plays 10. You add extra conference games, but look, you can still play. Like, I'm in North Carolina. I'm near South Carolina. Like, if Clemson and South Carolina want to play a game, you should let them play a game, right? I mean, like, there's no, in my opinion, problem with it. Just like I think if UCLA needs to get a 10th game and they should be able to play San Diego State, right? Like, I mean, they should be able to play Fresno State.
Right.
And so that's why I think that it's okay to maybe keep it a little regionalized. And we might see tweaks in that from the Pac-12 or the SEC or ACC. The Big 12 is interesting because the Big 12 is very spread out, right? I mean, they go from Texas up to West Virginia. You know, they're in a unique spot because they have SEC teams in their regions. They have ACC teams in their regions. And I'm not quite sure how they're going to handle this because, like I said, they're so spread out. They're over so many states and they're so wide over the country. I'm curious to see how they figure that out.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is purely a football conversation now. Let's put aside all the, you know, medical expert talk for a second. If there's a non-conference play for everyone, if the Power Five schools are only playing within their conferences, doesn't this just make it even more what we see every year? Like, isn't it just beneficial to the SEC because they're playing the harder strength of schedule and the bigger name teams? Doesn't this just make it more likely we see an SEC champ and that runner up or the team that didn't make the play or the SEC champ game? Doesn't it make it more likely we just see Clemson who walks all over the ACC? Doesn't it make it even more obvious that the Big Ten champ, if they're legit, is obviously in, and then the Big 12 and Pac-12 eat it? Like, doesn't it just become a version of college football even more compressed into normal?
Do you care this year? Like, I don't care.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you'll get an asterisk, but who cares about the asterisk?
I was asked this yesterday about the college football playoff. Well, yeah, what does it mean for the playoff? Who cares? If we get to a playoff, I'll be happy. Like, yeah, I don't think we're going to get there. So I'll take a call. I'll take any playoff. Who cares? Pac-12 not in it this year? Fine. They're not in it. Like, whatever. Like, it's if we get to January, we're still playing college football, that means things in our country are going great. I told you that just a couple weeks ago. I kind of gauge the progress of our country based off of football or not, which is wild. But the reason why I do it, like, look at soccer, for example. Soccer, MLS is playing right now. They had to cancel a game. Player tested positive on one of the teams. They canceled the whole game for one positive test. Germany, England, Spain, all playing soccer, all right? Like, I'm judging how we're doing as a society based off of sports playing or not. South Korea has been playing baseball for months now, at least a month. They have fans now. New Zealand's a bad comparison because they're a tiny country, but New Zealand has fans and they have no tests. They've been positive. They've been, you know, negative free or positive free, whatever you want to, however you want to say, no tests for a month now, 3 weeks. So I judge how we're doing as a society based off of sports. And if we get to a college football playoff, that means that we're doing well as a country.
Obviously I agree. And I would just say that, you know, the SEC should realize they'd be the benefactor of the whole season losing these non-conference games that only help make the case for, you know, a Pac-12 team with a big win over Alabama. Suddenly they look like a playoff team. If you don't even have the chance to beat the Alabamas of the world, yeah, it's just going to go to Bama and Georgia and LSU. And, you know, that's how it works every time.
But there is a benefit for Bama playing USC. You know, Bama's pulling kids out of Los Angeles now. I mean, there's benefit for playing those. Ohio State playing Oregon, that's a big benefit to beat Oregon, who's number five in their national recruiting right now. You know, no biggie, just fifth in the country. You know, it's important for these games to be played for other conferences as well. I mean, if Ohio State beats Oregon, well, they're not going to play this year. Would it be in Oregon, and they have one loss in the Big Ten? I mean, they have a good legitimate chance, shot to say, hey, look, man, we lost one game in the conference, but we went to Oregon, beat a top 10 team, put us in the playoff. Like, I mean, so like these are important games for them as well. Washington and Michigan was a great test for Jim Harbaugh in week one. So I don't think that it's great for the SEC they got canceled, because they're good opportunities for them as well.
Okay, fair enough. For what it's worth, if you dig into the reporting, unfortunately, a lot of officials within the Power Five schools and conferences are basically saying, we don't feel good at all. Like, we're very nervous about the whole season. So I would be skeptical of anyone who tells you it should be fine and hope that the people who are doomsdayers are wrong. That's kind of where we are at this point. We know for sure, if there's no football to watch, there will be football to play. Madden 21 is coming out, and your boy, Patrick Mahomes, is in the 99 club. Not a huge shock. It happens every year. Yeah. But I want to just say this, and I'm not just trolling you to troll you. That's my job sometimes on this show. This I'm a little bit scared about. I think your boy's getting a little overrated. I think he's starting to feel himself a little bit too much. I'm watching everyone in the world talk about how he's suddenly the greatest of all time because he has one ring. He's certainly the greatest playing right now, but things like the 99 rating, beating out Wilson and Lamar in every category. He's untouchable, Patrick Mahomes. I'm worried that he might feel himself a little too much and see a decline this year. I'm worried.
I think in general, there's something to the idea of kind of this like sophomore slump after a Super Bowl. I mean, obviously it's his fourth season, but like there's an idea that, hey, you know, the Super Bowl, you just got paid. But remember, Gabe, for half the season, he didn't play his normal self. He was hurt and just didn't play terribly well during some times. And then he came back. It took him a couple of weeks to get going. And even his bad play was better than almost anyone in the NFL. So 99 makes total sense. It makes total sense. I get it. Do you play Madden, by the way? You don't have time for video games. There's no way.
I don't have time. And I honestly stopped playing even when I did have time. Once we got past Sega Genesis, it was too many bugs.
God, you're not good enough than me. That's unbelievable. I don't think Zuri plays. I don't see him as like a Madden gamer.
Zuri, our producer, he's way more of like a fantasy guy. I'm sure he's playing, you know, some quest-based game that takes 17,000 hours to beat. I don't know if he's in the chat trying to crap 2K. On us for this.
Basketball. But he's a basketball guy.
He plays 2K.
Yeah, okay, basketball guy.
Right. Well, I'm glad Zuri came up. We're going to be talking about Zuri as a teammate of ours soon.
Ooh.
But real question here on the Madden ratings. So the one area where Pat did not come out number one that caught my eye was your boy Josh Allen got a 99 with throw power. Better throwing arm than Pat, according to Madden.
I mean, look, if you throw the ball straight in the air, as far as you can go, maybe Josh is better. But he's the worst downfield passer in the NFL. So congratulations on being really good at throwing balls no one can catch. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, that's something that you should be really proud about. You should be so happy you're a 99 in throw power, because it doesn't matter. You can't actually complete the pass. But I'll get back to the list real quick. So it's Mahomes, 99, Russell Wilson, 97. I do think they're that close. I think people do not understand how close those two are. They're really close. Lamar's 94, makes sense. Drew Brees 93. Okay. Tom Brady a 90. I mean, I don't know, man. 90, really? He's the fifth best quarterback?
Tom Brady ahead of Aaron Rodgers is stupid. And Lamar at a 94 when Pat Mahomes is a 99 seems like an insult to Lamar to me. Especially in Madden, by the way, where everyone knows that having a mobile quarterback is way cooler than having a guy with great arm talent.
How do you know that? How do you know that? You're not a Madden guy.
I mean, come on, man. I ran the Madden cover vote. I've been around Madden guys for my whole life. I know about Madden. I just don't play.
You ran the Madden cover vote?
Yeah. Yeah. Helped invent it. Ran it for a few years. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I knew before anyone who was going to win for about 4 years straight there.
Remember when Peyton Hillis was on the cover of Madden? Just the most random.
Yeah, that was my fault. You're looking at the guy.
That was the most random.
Yeah, it was him versus Mike Vick. Believe me, that was a worrisome one. But Peyton Hillis won the day.
Interesting. All right. Well, Deshaun Watson is 8. That's too low, in my opinion. Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, both 84s, which is really funny because, you know, there's a giant debate on Twitter about, you know, who's better, Dak or Carson Wentz. They're both 84s. And then four players have 99 overalls. Mahomes, McCaffrey, congratulations. Aaron Donald and Stephon Gilmore. Those are the four. I would argue the Mitchell Schwartz should have 99 overall as well.
I would figure you would argue that. I saw you down
there. And Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, I saw you arguing with people about offensive linemen, and I really wanted to bring it up on this show, but then I was like,
it's too boring.
How the hell put everyone to sleep? So you think that Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott are equally kind of rounding out the top 10? Like, you see them as worth the same rating?
I think Wentz is better, but you have to account in the injuries. Dak plays every week, and Wentz has only missed 8 games, but they've kind of been like 8 fairly important games. And he got hurt, obviously, in the playoff game last year. That wasn't really his fault, right? He got cheap shotted. So I kind of feel like bad that we're blaming him for that. But that happened. I mean, you can't.
Yeah. I'm not blaming him for getting injured. I just feel like he's injured most seasons, and I'm still yet to see him complete the season where everyone said he was going to be the MVP and win it all. I haven't seen him put all that together yet. So until he does, I'm not sold on Carson Wentz. I do believe, though, that seeing Pat as a 99, great, fine, whatever. He's the best quarterback out there. But to be that big of a drop-off before we get to Lamar Jackson feels like an intentional insult, and Lamar is going to prove something out of that. You may not believe in him, but I think he will show that he is still the MVP this coming season.
Their schedule is supremely easy. I don't know why he wouldn't. Look, I think the Ravens are going to win like 13 games again. It's just a matter of the play. Now, Lamar's thing is only about the playoffs now. That's his only thing that I'm going to judge him by, is will he win playoff games. He won the MVP. He proved me wrong. Proved all the haters wrong, the doubters wrong. I just want to see him win a playoff game. Like, that's my judgment this year for the Ravens' success or lack thereof is playoff wins.
Okay. Well, if nothing else, his arm throw power is a 92 and Josh Allen's is a 99. So, you know, he can work on that too. Let's move to moving the line. Do some over under. Okay. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's have some fun.
Here we go. Well, this one's a weird one to start having fun with, but we're going to try. I want to know the DC football team name changes plus wins this season over under 3.5 total. We already know they're going to have a name change. Does that mean they can get a couple wins also?
This over-under credit goes to Matt Ford,
yeah.
One of our other producers, because he's a Redskins fan. Oh, excuse me, a Washington football
team fan. Yeah, be careful.
By the way, the Washington football team put out a press release announcing they're changing the logo with the old racist logo on the letterhead still.
Yeah.
Like, no one thought, hey, let's remove the logo that we are getting rid of because advertisers are pressuring us to get rid of it. It's on the letterhead still announcing the change of the logo.
Yeah.
How stupid was that?
When people do things that they don't believe but are forced to do, they make stupid mistakes like that. That's the only explanation. I mean,
that's a really, really good way to put it. And I think that's important. You mentioned that's important here. I'm going to go with over. They win at least three games.
Okay, fair enough. We answered that question.
But like, you know, this cancel culture thing is really interesting to me because what drives a lot of it, Gabe, is money, right? Money. And so the Redskins had to cancel their name because advertisers said, we're out. Advertisers realized that this is not good for their brand. They're going to lose money by being associated with the name Redskins. So they just said, hey, we're not doing it anymore. Just like Nike decided to partner with Colin Kaepernick because they figured it'd make them money. Guess what? It made them money, right? The stock continues to go up. And so the idea of canceling something and you being upset about it, clearly they don't think that you're going to affect their bottom line. And so either you get on board with some of these changes or you can just be upset about it. They don't care. They don't care if you care or not. They've already figured out with their giant marketing team, their giant research team, that they don't need you to be on board with the name change. They're going to do it anyways because they have enough people to make up for your fake outrage on internet. You know, there's so many people that didn't even know a football team played in the DC area until this morning, right? And then it's the worst thing ever. So just think about that, guys. When something gets canceled, it's because there's money behind it. They don't fire people like Woj, for example. If he was just a nobody, they'd fire him. But Woj is not a nobody. He's their number one basketball guy. They're going to suspend him and bring him back. It's all about money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any point to disagree with on there. I want to know what this means. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud, tradition-rich franchise and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Coach and the owner are working together on the logo and the team name. What does Coach have to do with this?
I'm kind of curious if this was like part of why he was hired. Like, I don't know why Rivera would be, he's not going to coach forever. Why would he be in charge of helping pick the team name? That should be up to the marketing team and Dan Snyder to choose. I think Red Tails is the easiest and obvious answer. But we'll see if they do that.
Yeah. I hope they go with Senators because DC currently doesn't even have any of their own. So give them the Senators, make a statement that way. Then the politics will get real messy for people. I got to ask you a football question. Over under here. Dak deal done by Wednesday, over under 50% chance.
0%.
No chance.
No. And I told you guys this way back when. This was a Kirk Cousins, Washington football team situation. And people were, no, they'll figure it out. They're not going to figure it out. They're not even talking, they said. July 15th is the deadline. They're not talking. and both sides are reporting this, they're not going to talk. He's just going to wait it out.
All right. Fair enough. I don't have any follow-ups on that one because I feel like we talked Dak Prescott to death and I still don't understand what his problem is. But I'd say take the money. Hope you ball out. Hope you make a ton of money in the next deal, Dak. But who am I? All right. This one's a little bit confusing. And like I said at the top of the show, might be hard on you, my friend, because pop culture references aren't your specialty. But I want to know, odds that Cam Newton has ever seen Stuart Smalley sketches. 50-50 chance, over under.
What is that?
That's what I was hoping for. What is that? You don't know Stuart Smalley? I'm good enough.
I guess I'm going to look him up now.
Yeah, I know. I'm smart enough.
I love when you text me during the day. You go, I'm going to get you with a pop culture reference. I'm like, all right, whatever. Stuart Smalley.
Smalley.
Al Franken?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of the fact that it was Al Franken. See previous conversation about canceling people. But when he was still a comedian on SNL, he had this character that he would self-motivate. He would give himself motivational speeches and he would say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. And that's what I was thinking about when I watched this insanity from Cam Newton. This is something he posted the other day. Here, just take a listen to like a few seconds of this.
The forgotten Cam, the shit on Cam, tired of being sick of tired Cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
Okay, so that's Cam like all by himself, sweating and spitting and working out, presumably at night by himself. And then feeling the need to film this and post it to all of us to tell us he's got a chip on his shoulder and I mean, he feels more motivated than ever before. Who's this for? Who's Cam talking to right now? Like,
he's just talking to his haters.
Who are his haters?
What? People like you that say he can't do it in New England.
I didn't say that. I'm scared he's going to win a Super Bowl. I think most people think he's going to be great.
Look. You just need to have haters in your life. I keep a list on my phone from my playing days of everyone who told me I couldn't do it. I don't look at it very often. Yeah.
Who do you got on that list?
Let's see here. I mean, there's a list on here. I got.
Is it saved in like the notes? Like where you put your shopping list?
Yeah, right here.
Give me, come on. You got to at least identify someone. I got to know a little bit about who said this. Who's been motivating Jeff Schwartz?
Okay,
this whole time?
So like I had a high school coach who told me I'd never play in college because I played three sports in high school, so he's on this list.
Okay.
Maybe a couple coaches in the NFL, some teams that told me I wouldn't make it.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a long list there.
All right, so Cam Newton has had a fair amount of success. He won a Heisman Trophy. He's, you know, one of the biggest stars in recent NFL history. I just think Cam, God bless, man. If you got to tell yourself that all of us are out there thinking you can't do it any longer, I think most of us had the opposite reaction, which is how is a guy who's barely 30, who was an MVP a few years ago, get to go play for the Patriots with Belichick and steal four more Super Bowls before he's 40? How the hell did that happen? Not this guy sucks and he's over the hill, but whatever. Let me move along here. I would like to know how much you would pay to spend one weekend in the bubble with all of your friends. The NBA bubble looks like the dopest place on earth. I'm obsessed with it. I want to go there. Over under $5,000 for a weekend.
So just hang out with your buddies in the bubble.
You have basketball courts to play basketball. You've got your own chefs. You apparently get to shotgun beers whenever you want. There's golf. You got a nice resort.
No wife and kids?
You could score that as a positive or a negative. I'll leave that up to you. I know what I think it is. It seems pretty great, man. I really want to go.
I could blow $5,000 a weekend in Vegas with my friends. I would definitely do this.
I would prefer this to Vegas. You've seen J.J. Redick and Myers Leonard and these guys?
Except the food looks really bad.
What are you taught? Dude, that's just they're posting silly things about like their airplane food. That's like a snack. Their real food is cooked by a chef.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. They're not eating crackers and cheese for dinner.
To be fair, I should backtrack that. The first couple of days when you're in the quarantine period, you do get those crappy meals. And then when you're out of quarantine, they give you the chef.
But all right. So pack a lunch. I mean, nobody says you have to eat the yogurt they provide you. And by the way, we've all flown across country. That's what you eat sometimes. Like, deal with it. Their life looks awesome. They're golfing. They're slamming beers. They're playing video games. They're gambling on everything. They're playing hoops with no one around. It looks amazing. It's just their buddies. It's like a bachelor party.
How many people would you go with?
As many as I was allowed to bring.
Okay.
I'd pay any amount I could afford. It looks like heaven. I don't get what these guys are complaining about.
I mean, look, Jay Williams is right when he said that they're, what did he call them? He said that, you know, they're tone deaf, right, for complaining about this while they're getting to play. I'm with you there. They're a little tone deaf about the complaining about this. But those look like, I think I saw some fishing that was happening with the Clippers players as well. They were fishing. I'm not a fisher, dude. Oh, but I'll eat the fish, but I don't have the patience for that mess.
Wait, it's Ben Simmons. He just dropped the hook in the water. He pulled a little fish up. He showed it to the camera. Then he missed the lake when he tried to throw it back. That led to a lot of jokes.
Oh, wait. That was Ben Simmons who just like dropped the fish and walked away?
He couldn't hit a lake with a fish is the joke. But yeah, he missed.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It looks like the coolest place on earth. I don't want to hear any complaints about it. We'll see if it works from a sports perspective, but what a hang. They're all playing that game from the Jordan documentary where you roll a ball up against the wall and bet on it. It looks awesome. All right, last one, Jeff. We're losing focus here, so I want to throw this one at you. Me, you, and producer Zuri here, who we mentioned earlier, is a real video gamer. He loves playing Quest games. Not much of a sports guy. Me, you, and Zuri go on Flores Lava on Netflix as a trio.
Okay.
How many of us get across and survive the lava? Over under 1.5.
Well, I would survive because I'm athletic and I can move over these obstacles. I think I saw a preview of this. Is it actually out yet?
Yes, it's the best thing available on your television screen. I don't know why you haven't watched it.
So it's on Netflix?
Yeah. I'm informing you of this. This is the first you're really diving into this?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now on YouTube as we're talking.
I mean, we could just stop recording and you could just go watch. That would be a better use of your time.
I'll watch it with Meredith tonight. I would definitely. I'd be fine with this. No problem.
Now, your confidence.
I don't know Zuri's athleticism. I don't know yours. I mean, I don't think you would fail bad at this, Gabe. I'm not quite sure about Zuri's athleticism either.
I don't know about my athleticism versus Zuri's. I'm a few inches taller than him. And I feel like I'm fearless. And I would jump across the lava with reckless abandon. Jeff, I'm getting a little concerned though about you because you're a very big guy. And you are clearly the most accomplished athlete among us, but it's a different type of athleticism. You need to be sort of nimble and light on your feet. And I feel like you think like jumping to slippery landing spots and holding your balance is something you would specialize in?
I'd be far better than you think. I'm watching it right now. This is entertaining for you.
I mean, I'm getting ready for the possibility of no football, and this is the best I can come up with.
Isn't this like Wipeout, but just with like a little more obstacles?
It's basically an escape room meets Wipeout, yes.
I did an escape room one time. It's just a complete waste of time.
Why?
Have you done one of those before?
Yeah, of course.
It just was like, oh, okay, we can't find the clue. Can you tell us where it is? They just tell us where the clue is, and we just figure it out.
Well, but that's cheating. That's not how you're supposed to do an escape room.
But we couldn't figure it out. So like we can have like what you're allowed to like radio in and be like, give me a clue.
Yeah, one time. That's like the phone a friend on Millionaire. Like that, it's not every clue. You don't get to ask someone for help.
But we did enough to make it work. I didn't like it.
I don't like your anti-escape room take. I don't like your confidence in your ability to survive the lava. I think the answer that you're giving here is that we would be over 1.5 because you're sure you would make it and you think either me or Zuri would make it. I'm going to say under because I'm not sure either of you two dopes make it. I'm probably fine, but I'm worried about you guys.
Gabe, you're not making it, though.
All right. We're going to stop this record, and I'm going to go run like a 20-minute 5K and prove how...
What does that have to do with
very fit. Very fit. So I would be just fine. But, you know...
I will watch this show and report back to you. It doesn't look very interesting.
I mean, I strongly disagree. You like to watch your boy Big Cat play video games by himself at night. Do. That's something you've been into. I believe he is a fan of this show. I don't want to say for sure, but his tweets suggest maybe he's a fan of this show with some extra substances involved. I can tell you that that would probably help. You're not into that kind of stuff, but I think you got to give it a shot and join the bandwagon with me and Big Cat and the other people watching the show.
I will watch it tonight just for you. It's my only pop culture thing I'm going to do for you this week.
Okay.
And I will report back on next Monday's episode what I think about Floor is Lava. It's on Netflix right now. I will go do it. Netflix should sponsor this too, so I could Netflix
be nice if we got some free Netflix. Yeah. Well, listen.
It'd be fantastic.
After we derailed here, it's good to circle back and say that your confidence meter on NFL season right now is how many out of 10?
I'm at 9.5.
Still. 9.5 out of 10 for NFL and college.
Ugh. I don't know. A conference only schedule, 5 out of 10.
Oh, boy. Okay. So even a scaled back is still a 50-50. Okay. That's not an encouraging way to end.
I wish I could tell you better news, but I think college football is in a bit of trouble because there's so many teams. There's lack of leadership from the top. It's hard to control everything. You're not paying the players, which kind of looks yucky to have them go back when you're not paying them. So it's going to be tough to go back, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I wish I'd ended on Floor is Lava when we were talking about happier stuff. All right, Jeff, I'm going to go limber up for our competition.
Let's do it, buddy. We should create this and film it. It'd be great, great content.
Next season of Floor is Lava, we should just try out.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please rate, review, subscribe, especially now that Titans fans are spamming my podcast. Gabe, have you liked my podcast? Have you given me 5 stars yet?
Yes, of course. I'm very proud of this. I'm happy to be part of it with you. And the Titans fans need to chill.
Zuri hasn't yet, which is fairly. This is
okay. And you trust this guy to make it across the lava? He can't even hit a star button on an iPhone.
Fair point. All right, guys, we'll be back Thursday. We'll see if we have an interview. We'll see if we have a guest. I don't know. We'll see what happens. More to report on NFL and SEC for sure. ACC, what they're going to do. All right, guys, have a good week. Talk to everyone later. Peace.